ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Today we'll see the summary of chapter 9, the Yoga of Royal Knowledge and Royal Secret. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yoga. Raja Vidya, of all the Vidyas, this is considered to be the highest, because knowing the knowledge of the self, having gained the knowledge of the self, nothing remains to be known. When you know all other knowledges which pertain to the world, the knowledge only varies in degree. Whereas when you know the knowledge of the self, this knowledge varies in kind. So, compared to
we are not getting Guruji on the screen and his voice.
No, you got to check your phone maybe. Phone or iPad, whatever you're using.
Sadhana has put the video on. Is the video that I can see you? So the video has to be on.
Can you hear me, Sadhana? Now? Can you hear me?
Is it okay now, Sadhana? Turn on the video and.
No, her video is on and the audio is also
and
on.
And your computer audio also. Or just log in again, Sadhana, with the same ID.
I think somebody needs to call her and tell her. She doesn't,
I'll
she can't hear.
She can't hear.
Yeah.
I'll message her.
She's calling her. Mamta's calling her.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello. Hi, Tati. Huh? Yeah, my video is there. I can't get his voice. Huh?
And tell her to unmute also, Mamta. Mamta, tell her to unmute herself.
हाँ, आप लोग start करिए और आज तो संजय है। Okay, okay.
So
Guruji, we can start. She'll just take her help and she'll come in.
Sure. So compared to a person who's studied up to 9th standard, a person who is in 12th standard has more knowledge, you can say. And compared to a person who is in 12th standard, a person who is in graduation and post-graduation has more knowledge. But all of them are in ignorance with reference to the knowledge of the Atma. So their knowledge amongst them varies only in degree. It doesn't vary in kind. When a person gains the knowledge of the Atma, he becomes the Atma, he realizes the entire waking state as nothing but one big dream, and it is a pure consciousness that pervades and remains a substratum for the whole thing. So such a person attains oneness and becomes absolutely free with reference to the world. Therefore, this knowledge of Atma is considered to be the royal knowledge. That is why in the Upanishad, when the student asks, especially in Mundaka Upanishad, student asks, I would like to know something knowing which nothing remains to be known. Please teach me that. And that is Atma. When you know many things in the world, you still suffer in this world because of the ignorance of the Atma. Therefore, we say every other knowledge varies in degree, whereas knowledge of the Atma varies in kind. Hence, it's called royal knowledge. And royal secret. A secret is a secret till it is revealed to another person. When it is unknown, it is a secret. And in this, even if you have realized the self and you cannot communicate the self to the person who is identified with the world. So this knowledge remains a secret till they themselves realize the self. So for example, even when we are hearing it from the guru, we don't know. It still remains a secret. We only know it objectively. We don't know it subjectively. Therefore, we say this knowledge is the royal knowledge and royal secret. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yoga. So this chapter again is a small chapter. It has only about 34 verses. In this chapter, verse 22 is a very important verse. And there are a few verses in the end which are also important. And this verse 22 is considered as the central geometrical verse of the Bhagavad Gita. So these 34 verses are split into four topics. The first topic is self pervades the world. Remember, from chapter 7 till chapter 12, the whole theme of the Bhagavad Gita is nature of Ishvara, Ishvara Anugraha and Bhakti Yoga or Upasana. This is the central theme. So the nature of Ishvara, Brahman was discussed in the 7th chapter. Then in the 8th chapter, he discussed mainly, as you think, so shall you become. That thought of maintaining the Atma even at the time of death and reaching Brahman. That was discussed mainly in the 8th chapter. And Kaivalya Mukti was talked. Also, the Krama Mukti was talked. Mainly Krama Mukti was taught to explain to us that we should actually aspire for Kaivalya Mukti, not Krama Mukti. Now in the 9th chapter, again comes back nature of the Ishvara. So self pervades the world. So basically they want to say that this knowledge and Vijnanam, both I will give, Krishna says. Which is what he said in the 7th chapter, if you remember. And why am I giving you? Because you are qualified. So Arjuna, since you are a qualified person, this knowledge is given to you. In fact, many people ask, I wonder, why Gita is given to Arjuna and not Yudhishthira? Simple reason is Yudhishthira did not ask. Arjuna only asked. So whoever asks, it's a qualification. Not just literally asking, it is that surrender, it is that wanting to know the truth, that interest and that qualification. So in the beginning, Krishna says, you do not cavil, Arjuna, you do not criticize or complain, you have Shraddha in this knowledge. So I will declare this secret to you, this knowledge. I will explain to you the knowledge in such detail that you just have to put in little effort. So you can convert that into wisdom. Also, when he says knowledge and wisdom, what it means is, it is the complete knowledge of Brahman. What is that? Brahman is both the material cause, upadana karanam, and intelligent cause, nimitta karanam. So, upadana karana means clay is the material with which all the pots are made. So the material for all the pots means world here. And the material that pervades the world, the subtle aspect that pervades the world which is imperishable, that is Brahman. And that is the what? Upadana karana, material cause. Now, the pot and clay example explains to us that the various pots with various names have come from clay. But there is somebody called the intelligent cause who creates the pot. In the case of the world, the person who creates the world and from which it is being created, both are same. In the case of the pot, that is not the case. Clay is the material cause, part maker is the intelligent cause. When it comes to world, Upanishads and Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita tells us that from Brahman, the world has come about. Are you with me? So from the macrocosmic point of view, what do we say? We say that from Brahman, the Maya Shakti is there, and Brahman identified with Maya Shakti is Ishvara. Then from that, the Hiranyagarbha, the subtle world comes, and from Hiranyagarbha, the Virat Purusha comes. And when we talk about the individual, Atma, Vasanas, subtle body, and the gross body. Is it clear? So from the macrocosm and from the microcosm, what is being taught here is, one is called Jnanam, other is called Vijnanam. Jnanam is what? Brahman is the material cause for the world. In other words, world is nothing but Brahman. Okay? Now, the world has evolved from Brahman. How? The ignorance of Brahman, which is the non-apprehension of Brahman, from which the misapprehension of Brahman, the world, comes about. So, this in the Upanishad, they explain with a very interesting example of the spider and its web. Spider spins the web from its own saliva. Similarly, the world comes out of Brahman, exists in Brahman, dissolves in Brahman. This entire knowledge is called Jnanam and Vijnanam. So, Sri Krishna says, and this Jnanam and Vijnanam, now I am going to talk to you. He is continuing from where he left in the 7th chapter. Because you are qualified. If a person is not qualified, the person will not be able to imbibe this knowledge. So he says, this knowledge, this royal secret, the moment you gain this knowledge, it purifies you completely from all the conditionings, from all the vasanas, from all the sins. And this can be directly realized. You don't have to be dependent on anybody to know it. You can externally know it through the books, but finally you need to know it within you, and it is directly realizable. You can know that. And it is the ultimate dharma, very easy to practice with the guidance of your subtle intellect, and that is the imperishable truth. And since you have Shraddha, you can gain this knowledge and attain me and move away from the path of mortal world without having to return to it. But if you have no Shraddha, then you will follow the world, you will increase your vasanas, and you will return. Since Arjuna, you have Shraddha, I am giving you this knowledge. So then he says, he starts giving the knowledge and vijnanam. Jnanam and vijnanam, which is what I spoke to you. All this world is pervaded by me in the unmanifest form. All beings dwell in me and I do not dwell in them. All beings dwell in me and I do not dwell in them means what? Atma Brahman is the Satyam. Beings are the Mithya. The Satya Mithya Viveka we have already discussed. Which is the chair is Mithya. Chair is the name and form which depends on the wood. Wood is the Satya. In the example, chair is Mithya. So imagine wood is talking. So wood is saying, chairs dwell in me, I don't dwell in them. Chairs are dependent on me, I am not dependent on the chairs. So in other words, the world is in Brahman. Now if you really reflect and understand this verse, there will be a paradigm shift in your life because there will be a paradigm shift in your perception. If you simply repeat this verse, nothing will happen. But if you really understand it, what is the paradigm shift that will come? We have seen this in Mundaka Upanishad also. So, Madhuji can answer now.
So, it's the substratum of all beings.
Okay.
So, please, can you hear me, Guru?
Yes, I can.
So, Brahman is a sub. My internet connection is very stable. It keeps coming and going. I've connected it to my phone today.
Okay. No, you're mute. You're on mute, I think. No, I can't hear you. Anyway, doesn't matter. So the point is, what is the paradigm shift that comes is, today I am thinking that Lakshmi Narayan is in the world. What is he saying? World is in me. Do you see the paradigm shift? How are we thinking? We were thinking once upon a time that Britishers were ruling us, they are our boss and we are the slaves. People like Mahatma Gandhiji, Subhash Chandra Bose and Bhagat Singh and all these people, they told us, listen, we are the boss, they are taking from us, they are slaves and we are not slaves. It's a paradigm shift. Unless that paradigm shift comes, you will not work towards your freedom. And those paradigm shifts, those visions that these people had, when they were able to pass it on to us, inspire us, then the whole country were behind them, then the whole freedom struggle got a momentum and British had to leave. So the whole thing, if you really want to get the freedom in life, this is a very important verse from that point of view. So therefore, just see what the language Sri Krishna is using, or the Shastra is using. All beings dwell in me. So now what am I thinking? I am one of the beings dwelling in the world. Now he's saying, no. All beings, the entire world is dwelling in me. This is the difference. Now, when I'm dreaming, when Madhu is dreaming and she is the well-settled person in the waking state, but when she is dreaming that she is not well-settled. She's jobless. She's struggling to meet her ends, etc., etc. So that dreamer, let us give another name. Let us say Shweta. So Madhu, when she dreams, she's dreaming herself to be Shweta, who is jobless, who is struggling. Now, the perception, the whole idea in that Shweta's mind is what? I am in the dream world. Correct? But actually, what is the truth? Shweta and Shweta's world is in Madhu's mind. Are you getting it? So therefore, Sri Krishna says, all beings dwell in me. I do not dwell in them. This is called the paradigm shift in thinking. It's the completely different way of looking at the whole thing. Today, I think I am bound. Actually, I am not bound, I am free. I have to see it. This is the problem. How to make you see? You are so preoccupied. How many other lectures you hear, you say, oh, I know he's very compassionate, he's telling us that I'm already free. He's probably trying to motivate us. Poor fellow, he's struggling hard. That is not the point. The point is you are free. That is why Swami Ramtirtha beautifully says, a slave is a slave because he is free. Remember this. A slave is a slave because he is free. We are already free. So that is what this verse is trying to tell us. Satya Nitya Viveka. The moment we gain this, the moment we understand this knowledge deeply, instantly we get freedom. So he says, then finally he says, nor do beings dwell in me. First is, you say, make up your mind then. First you said, you don't dwell in the world dwells in you. Now you are saying even the world doesn't dwell in you. What has happened to you? Are you confused? He says, listen, the world dwelling in me, I accepted from your point of view. Actually, there is no world dwelling in me. There is no dream state when the dreamer is not there. From the waker's point of view, there is no dream state. From the ocean point of view, from water point of view, what wave are you talking about? What ocean are you talking about? There is only water. from rope point of view, where is the question of snake? Initially, the snake is accepted and told that snake is in the rope and rope is not in the snake. Then finally, the rope is declaring there is no snake, nothing. It is all your madness you imagined. And unnecessarily, we have to teach Bhagavad Gita. Because actually, there is no world what Bhagavad Gita you teach. So he says, there is no world and nothing. Nor do beings dwell in me. This is my divine yoga. This is the beautiful combination of spirit and matter that going about playing and bringing forth this. And while the whole thing is split, manifest by from the Maya, I, the Brahman, is a supporting person. This is the Gyan and this is the Vigyan. So the Gyan and Vigyan is this. That's what he's saying. The Maya, the moment you are ignorant of Brahman, the ignorance creates the misapprehension. And when the ignorance is creating the misapprehension, I am there supporting it all the time, hoping that one day you will realize me. That's what he's saying. So what level of optimistic Brahman must be? You understand? In spite of us, Janmas after Janmas dwelling in this superimposition, Brahman is extremely confident that one day this fellow will realize that this whole thing is madness. Absolute madness. So that's what he's saying. Nor do beings dwell in me. Behold my divine yoga, bringing forth and supporting beings. Myself does not dwell in them. From my point of view, there is no world, nothing, nonsense. I am just supporting it. Just like the mighty wind is moving, resting in space, the whole world is resting in me. So you are that person. You are that infinite. You are not this finite. You got to own it up. So what happens is, initially, if you have not been doing sadhana, see what is happening is, now this you hear from the teacher, from the shastra. But you don't have the strength to accept this. But as you start doing the sadhana and the reflection, slowly, slowly, the conviction and courage and strength comes within you, then you own up this knowledge. I think in the last week's class, or one of the classes, I mentioned about that story that Swamiji used in the end, where in the VT book, a whole kingdom is facing a flood situation. So the king and the queen and the minister, everybody is trying to escape with that newborn prince. And when they are trying to escape, did I talk about this in our class last week? In this class? There are too many classes I am doing now, so I am confused which class I spoke what. So anyway, so the point is, did we speak about this last week? In this class?
No, sir. No.
No. Okay.
No, Guruji.
Okay, so the king and the queen with the newborn prince and the minister, they're trying to escape the deluge. But then when the king realizes that they may, submerge and die, so he says, minister, you somehow save the prince. And the minister saves the prince, but he loses him. But he knows that the prince is somehow surviving somewhere. And he's a very good minister, so he's ruling the kingdom on behalf of the prince with the hope that one day they will find him and locate him, making the king. In the meantime, days pass and the prince is growing up begging in the kingdom. So the minister is trying his best to find him and they succeed also. One day, with the mark he had on the biceps, they find him and they bring him back to the palace and they make him the king. He says, there is some tamasha going on here. I don't know what is going on. They're trying to trap me. And he is not at all comfortable sitting on the throne. So one day, without anybody's knowledge, he escapes and goes back and begs. After a few days, they find him and bring him back. And now slowly, slowly begins to understand that he is actually the king, the prince who is now being found. And slowly, once he recognizes that, now the throne becomes very comfortable. That is the story. The whole story is what? Now he purposely thereafter goes back begging, but he's doing it with awareness. So the whole story here is, today when you hear these concepts that Vedanta talks about, come on, yaar, what is this? All nice to hear. I am Madhu, I am Anu, Better. World in me and all is too much. Very difficult. But as you start doing the sadhana, purifying your body, mind, intellect, reflection, sense control, mind control, everything, when you do together, you will come to that stage where you will own up this knowledge. You will realize that. So that is what he's saying. So, Brahman talking as Ishvara here, he says, from me, the world emerges and into me, the world dissolves. The entire macrocosm comes out of me. And when the kalpa cycle finishes, it goes back, again it comes back. So the Brahmaji is supposed to live for 100 years, and one day of Brahma, one night of Brahma, there is a huge calculation which we saw in the previous chapter. All this is to tell us that just like how you go to sleep, and you when you wake up, when you went to sleep, you sleep as a mathematician, and when you wake up again, you come back as a mathematician. You don't go to sleep as a mathematician and come back as a dancer. You go to sleep as a dancer and come back as a cricketer. It doesn't happen like that. Because the vasanas remain in unmanifest form. Again, they come to manifestation. So he says, the kalpa ends and then it again comes. The cycle continues. I am only being a sakshi, animating the prakriti. From me, the multitude beings come, multitude beings dissolve in me. All these things are going on. O Dhananjaya, O Arjuna, O winner of wealth, understand it does no affectation into me. In me. It can, all this is going on. It doesn't do anything to me. I am the ocean. I am Paripurna. Waves are coming. Waves are going back. So many big waves come and dissolve into ocean. Does anything happen to the ocean? Nothing happens. Similarly, water evaporates, pours down as rain, the river comes and merges back into the ocean, the whole tamasha is going on, ocean remains unconcerned and unattached. So similarly, he says, this Brahman is unconcerned, unattached when all these are happening. So when you gain this knowledge, when you get this jnana vijnana, you will also become unconcerned and unattached. From you, the vasanas will manifest. If you have vasana to talk on Vedanta, you will talk on Vedanta. If you have vasana to talk on the worldly stuff, you will talk on the worldly stuff. If you have vasana to keep quiet, you will keep quiet. If you have vasana to dance, you will dance. All these manifestations will come and again it will go back to one manifestation. The whole drama will go, but you will remain a witness. Nothing will happen to you. You remain unaffected. So he says, this is the benefit of this jnanam and vijnanam. Meaning what? One side, dynamic actions will be coming out of you, and yet you will remain absolutely objective. So what is that? You will become dynamic, yet witness. Absolutely. From one point of view, you are dynamic, and the other point of view, you are a witness. So from me presiding, the moving and the unmoving, everything comes and the world revolves. This is the first topic from verse 1 to 10, self pervades the world. This is a beautiful portion where the entire jnana and vijnana of the Upanishad is given in Sri Krishna's words with as simple words as possible. But this is what he wants to say. And you need to dwell upon this and make this knowledge your own. Then once you gain this knowledge, your paradigm shift will happen. But for that paradigm shift to happen, it is not enough if you just listen to the lecture and reflect on it. You need to side by side do sense control, mind control, etc., etc. Go back and read what we studied in the 12 Ajnanas portion. So then he shifts the gear from verse number 11 to 19. He says, now this being the truth, this is what is happening. People who are deluded. Deluded means who do not have this knowledge. What are they deluded by? Deluded by the manifested world. What they see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think. All these are deluding them. Those who are lost in the world, deluded by the world, they disregard this knowledge. They disregard the self. And whereas a person who's got this knowledge, who understands this, They understand that the entire glory in this world is the glory of the Atma, and they only seek the Self. So that is the next topic from verse 11 to 19. So from verse 11 to 19, the topic is the deluded disregard the Self and the wise glorify and seek the Self. That is the topic. So he says, the persons who are deluded by the gunas, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic, they disregard the Atma. And they are, what are they doing? They are only pursuing the world. They don't understand that I, the Atma, is sitting inside as the Lord. They, what do they think? They are not the Lord. They are thinking they are the doer. And they become slaves. See, this is the general difference between an entrepreneur and the person who works. See, an entrepreneur always thinks in terms of himself being the owner of a business, however small it may be, and providing jobs. And then another person who thinks differently. So that is what he's saying. The fools who are lost in the world. Fools, why he's saying fools? Is because you have the potential, yet you don't see it. You are conditioned by the gunas. You are conditioned by the world. Now what happens? You have vain hopes, vain actions you carry on, with vain knowledge of the world, senselessly you get around in the world like Rakshasa and Asura. But whereas a person with knowledge, he is called as Mahatma, that person understands this. What does he do? He, without any confusion, unswerving, he pursues this knowledge, the imperishable source. How? Through karma, bhakti and jnana. Through karma, bhakti and jnana. Meaning what? At all levels. It is not just karma, bhakti, jnana. I told you already.
So
the whole thing is, whatever you have, it has to be for the purpose of realization of the Self. That is the absolute level. Relative level, for the purpose of Chitta Shuddhi. Self-purification. Self-purification and self-development is the lower goal. Self-realization is the higher goal. Now, everything that you have, see, this concept is called receive, recycle and rejoice. Now, whatever I have, now in this pandemic situation, we are all not at all feeling that much of affectation. What we are going through is nothing. But if you see these migrant workers and so many people, poor people, they are really suffering, right? Across the world. Now, the whole thing that we have, the resource, are we grateful? Do we have the attitude of gratitude? If we have the attitude of gratitude, what will we think? We receive it from the Lord and we will recycle it for the welfare of the world. Not hoard it. Right? So you will recycle it for the welfare of the world, and recycling itself will give you rejoice, and after recycling also you will continue to rejoice. This is called receive, recycle and rejoice. The whole thing, you do the work with an attitude of giving back to the world. And from whatever you get as prasad, you again recycle it for the same thing. See, okay, there is some X amount of prasad you are getting from your business. Now what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to use little bit for your consumption to survive, to contribute, and the rest has to be put back in the business for research and development and for growth of the organization. So you employ more people, you grow the business more, more people survive on it. So it is basically taking and giving back to it. See, I remember I lived in Dubai for 6 years. Sheikh Zayed used to be the king of the place, UAE. He was a very, very good person and a great person. Sheikh Zayed, he used to say that the wealth of this country came from the ground, isn't it? Because of the petrol. So So he says, I have to give back to this earth. And he started planting trees. And he had hope that one day it will rain in UAE. So the whole concept is what? There has been something given to me. I recycle it for the welfare of the world. And grow the whole thing. As I grow, I get more. I again recycle it. Not hoard. That's not the idea. In fact, this kind of living is enriching life. Only then you are rich. When you are old, you are not rich. Remember this. In fact, you are so poor in the mind, only then a person can hold. When a person is rich, it is impossible that the person can hold. Impossible. So then, you understand all these things from that angle. How you glorify. He says, he glorifies, this is the verse he's saying, always glorifying me. Always glorifying me means what? Every day studying Bhagavad Gita? That is not the whole idea. Always glorifying me means when it comes to living in the world, what I consume is for what purpose? Self-purification, self-realization. Why I am going to do business? For what purpose? To exhaust the vasana. Remember, karma yoga helps in the exhaust of the bulk of the vasanas. Bhakti yoga improves the quality of the vasanas. Jnana yoga gives the direction towards the atma. So therefore, the whole thing, whatever I do, I don't do. Everything is glorifying the goal. See, then only it has a purpose of living. See, a cow is going on the road. You go and ask the cow, what is the purpose of your life? Where are you going? What will it say? It has nothing, it says. As you are asking the question, if it sees grass on the other side, it will simply cross the road and go and eat grass. Cow has no purpose. Whatever it is, the senses, it will fulfill it. That's all. But a human being is not supposed to live like that. A human being is supposed to live with a purpose, a goal. This is what Mahatma Gandhiji says. Find a purpose, means will follow. A colleague of mine, he is also teaching Vedanta in Chennai. One class in a week he does. He is also a computer engineer, so he is doing something in computer field also. One class in a week he is teaching. And I heard from him during this pandemic situation, minimum 100 migrant workers he is giving food every day. Minimum 100 migrant workers. And he is also doing some kind of service to the old age homes, etc. Like that, I'm hearing so many people from different walks of life. All of them are working in this way, in this situation. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, this is fine. This is at the social work level. But there has to be this consciousness level that all of us completely dedicating for. So whatever I eat, do everything, it's given back for that. It could be anything. Your car, your house, your everything for the goal. From a relative point of view, why are you doing business? That is my nature, that is my swadharma, therefore I am doing business. I through that serve the Lord. Lord is manifested as all these beings. I am serving and again recycle. So the comfort that comes from it is for me to contribute more I use. Then it's okay. Then it's Vedantic way of living. So the whole thing, that's what he's saying. Karma, bhakti, jnana. At all levels, he glorifies the self and steadfastly follows. So through various ways, they only live that knowledge. He completely understands everything is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone. The spirit is the father, Prakriti is the mother. The combination, this entire world has come. Knowing this, one person becomes absolutely purified. So, the goal is Brahman. The supporter is Brahman. The Brahman is the Lord. It is the witness. It is the abode. It is the shelter, friend, etc., etc. For a person who understands this knowledge, then Brahman becomes the goal, supporter, Lord, witness, abode, everything. Dissolution, creation, dissolution, substratum, treasure house, everything is Brahman and Brahman alone. So from the Brahman, whole thing comes and into Brahman, everything dissolves. This is the second topic, verse 11 to 19. So when a person doesn't understand this jnana vijnana, he is deluded by the world and he is interested in hoarding and propitiating his wealth and in the bargain suffers. Whereas the person gains this knowledge, he then understands, now I have to make this knowledge my own. So he uses his body, mind, intellect, whatever resources he has, all the resources one receives in life is recycled for that highest purpose and resource. This is the second topic. Verse 11 to 19. Then the third topic. Now you get what you strive for. If you strive for the world, you get the world. If you strive for Brahman, you get the Brahman. Now in this, there is one secret. What is that? When we say the topic from verse 20 to 28, one attains what one strives for. That is the topic. So if you strive for the world, you get the world. If you strive for Brahman, you get the Brahman. What does it mean? Can anybody explain? What is the sukshma there? Anybody?
Guruji, so whatever you put your effort in, so if you're glorifying focusing on the Lord, then that is what you'll get. Whatever you focus on is what you'll get, because your efforts will, the result will be commensurate to the effort you put into that.
Okay. Earlier, Sri Krishna said, the world is in me, I'm not in them, and the world is also not in me. Correct? Now bring that in the context and answer the question that I thought. What he is saying is, when you get the world, you only get the world, you don't get Brahman. Actually, you don't even get the world, in the sense you don't enjoy it. When you get Brahman, you get the world also. So you see, when you get Brahman, you get the world also. Fifth verse of second part of Kena Upanishad. So when you strive for the world, you'll get only world. If you strive for Brahman, you get Brahman. But when you get Brahman, world is in Brahman. So when you get Brahman, you get Brahman world also. Buy one, get one free. That happens only when you get Brahman. You understand? When you get the world, buy one, lose everything. Even your joy you lose. So if you are wise, which will you choose? Brahman. Because when you get the higher, the lower is added in the higher. When you get the lower, the higher is not added in the lower. That is the secret. That is what you are supposed to understand. So therefore he says, people who do not understand this, they are in the Vedas. Then, you know, they do Vedas, they go on doing the rituals and dedicating their goals, and you get Punya. And Punya we have already studied in the previous chapter. Punya will take up to what? Heaven. And then, when you exhaust your Punya from heaven, I told you last week, you are sent back in Rolls Royce. Back to the world. You will come back to the human form again. Or any other form. So basically, people who do not understand, their effort is only at the worldly level. Maximum punya pa. Some put in effort to go to Brahmalo. Isn't it? Some people say, listen, I am not going anywhere, Baba. I am going inside. I am not interested in going to Swarg. I am not interested in going to Brahmalok. I am interested in going to the truth within. So some go to Swarg and come back. Some go to Brahmalok and come back. Some go to Brahmalok and Brahmalok they go to Brahman. one fellow who is wise, very rarely, that fellow says, I am not going either udar, either bhi nahi jayega. I will go directly to Brahman. So he says, verse number 22, very famous off-quoted verse in the entire Bhagavad Gita. It's considered to be the central geometrical verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Because 9th chapter is the middle chapter, you can say. In that, almost the middle is 22nd. So it's not exact, but approximately. So what is that verse saying? Ananya chintayanto mam ye jana paryubhasate tesha mityabhyukta nam yoga kshemam vahami. Chinta means thought, anya chinta means other thought, ananya chinta means no other thought. So a person who has understood this, he has no other thought except Brahman. Karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, whatever I am contacting, whatever I am not contacting, everything in that purpose. Will this take me to Brahman? Yes. Will this take me away from Brahman? No. Therefore, I say no, I say yes. Whatever I say yes, whatever I say no, everything is in line with the chosen goal of self-realization and self-purification, self-development, ananya chinta. So if you have that kind of approach, then you will get both yoga and kshema. What is this yoga and kshema? Yoga can be interpreted, yoga kshema can be interpreted in three ways. You do not possess something, attaining that, getting union with that is yoga. And once you get it, not necessary that you will preserve it. But kshema means you will preserve it also. That is one interpretation. Other interpretation is, yoga means spiritual development. Kshema means material development. Other interpretation is stability in spiritual field and attainment of self-realization. Whichever way you take it, you have to maintain ananya chinta, no other thought, with unprostituting, unswerving devotion to the Lord Brahman you must do. So therefore, even when I do the yajna, what do I understand? I understand that the Lord in yajna is Brahman. Remember last week we studied what? Adiyajna. You forgot. What is Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adhibhuta? What is Adhideva? What is Adhiyajna? He asked. So who is the Adhiyajna? The Ishwara sitting. Ishwara sitting is the enjoyer and the Lord. So whether you, it's like this, take like this. Whether you are applying to the industrial ministry for some whatever funds or whatever you are applying. To the industrial ministry. Finally, you are applying to the government. Na? The ministry is industrial ministry. Somebody who wants agriculture loan, he goes to the agriculture ministry. So, the different ministries are there. Finally, who is the Lord above the government? The Prime Minister, the President. So, the same way, whatever Devata you may be offering, ultimately it is Brahman who is sitting inside the Adi Yajna, the Lord. According to your karma, the fall comes to you because Ishwara is the one who governs the whole thing. Therefore, why don't I directly go to Brahman? Unnecessarily going to all these devatas. So if you are a wise person, you will dedicate it for that. You will not get involved in any of these things. That's what he says in verse 24. I am the enjoyer, I am the Lord. So therefore, according to what they worship, they go, those who worship me, they come to me. But when he says, those who worship me, they come to me. Here, me means the Atma, the Brahman, not Mr. Krishna. So when you worship Brahman, you come to Brahman. And actually, when you come to Brahman, you begin to rejoice. As you are moving closer and closer to Brahman, you begin to rejoice this world. That's the whole idea. So, some people say, okay, I will realize Brahman, pata nahi when, till then I will suffer. No. As you get closer and closer to Brahman, you become more and more objective. When you become more and more objective, you begin to enjoy. That's the whole idea. So, therefore he says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, doesn't matter. See, verse number 26, 27 are also off-quoted verses. He says, patram pushpam palam toyam. Yome bhaktya prayacha. So it doesn't matter what you offer. Some people go to Tirupati Balaji and there is this balancing, physical balance. You sit on one side and the other side, some people give Kela, some people give Tulsi, some people give gold. It depends what you have. For Brahman, everything is same. Anything in this Brahman is made by Brahman material. So how does it matter what you offer? So therefore, what Krishna wants is not what you offer. What Krishna wants is the offerer. Remember this. Krishna is a... What is Krishna is called? How is Krishna known? Notoriously.
चित चोरा यशोदा के बाल नवनीत चोर गोपाल
He steals the heart. He wants your ego. Nothing else. When he steals butter, he is stealing that ego. You understand? Now see, this is the misunderstanding all of us have. Keep on judging. The problem is, we think we can judge. See, every field has all sorts of fakes. So that way, even in spiritual field, there are, I agree. But that doesn't mean I have the ability to judge and do things with everyone. Because the guru truly wants to rob the ego from you, nothing else. You can really give nothing to the guru. Remember, if he or she is a true guru, you can give nothing to them. They already are fulfilled. So what they want is to steal that. So, they are not interested what you give. Pakkam pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktam yapre. It doesn't matter what you offer. So when you have to offer, what they really want is that ego that you deserve. When you do it with that right attitude, then you get there. So the whole life is dedicated by the people who want to attain that. They dedicate it in that way they strive. That's what it means. Not only striving in the direction, they strive with the proper attitude. And then he says, Yat karoshi adashna, juhoshi dadasya, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Remember this word arpana. He says, it doesn't matter what you do, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, what you eat, what you offer, yat juhoshi dadasya, what you give. Yet tapasyasi, whatever austerity you are practicing, maunam, not eating, upavas, whatever it is, one meal fasting, 16 hours fasting, 20 hours fasting, whatever it may be, doesn't matter. How are you doing it? Are you doing it as arpanam to me, or are you doing it because you will get sick stuck? You will fit into all these zero size clothes. What are you doing it for? That's the whole purpose. You understand? Yat karoshi yadashnasi echuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So with that arpana bhav, everything, which is what I summarized by saying, receive all your resources with gratitude, recycle it for the higher purpose and rejoice your life. And rejoin with Brahman. This is the whole thing. So you can look at it as 3 hours or 5 hours or whichever way you want. It will be easy to understand it that way. That's all he says. So he says, thus when you function with this Ananya Chinta, you will become one with Brahman. You will go beyond good and evil. You will realize the self, which he calls this Sannyasa Yoga. What is this Sannyasa Yoga? Sannyas means renunciation. Yoga means union. So what he is saying is, by uniting with that Brahman constantly, you become free from the world. That's the idea. Then, from verse 29 to 34, last topic, dedicated effort leads seekers, even the unrighteous, to self-realization. Now what is this topic saying? Now you may become little dejected and say, "Yaar, I am already so many years old, and such a big papi I am, I didn't understand all these things. So much I got involved in the world. I don't know whether there is any emotion for such a papi like me." He says it doesn't matter where you are in life. What matters is what direction are you taking from now. Earlier he said, it doesn't matter what you offer, how you offer. It doesn't matter what you do, how you do. Now he's saying it doesn't matter where you are, what direction you take, that's what matters. You understand? So you could be the worst of sinners. Meaning what? Disadvantageous position. See, these are all unnecessarily complicated and, misunderstood and complicated. Here, there are certain verses when he talks about, Papa Yoni, woman, Vaishya, immediately everybody take up this thing, slogan against Bhagavad Gita. Woman, what do you mean? How is woman Papa Yoni? What he is saying is, there are certain disadvantages. The emotionalism, and there are certain disadvantages at the body level, at all levels. Therefore, he gives that example. There are disadvantages in different beings. If you are born in a Brahmin family, not from the point of view of Janma, I explained that before. Guna, it's an advantage. See, it's like when you travel in the flight, sometimes from Delhi to Mumbai, you travel in 2.5 hours, 20 minutes. Or maybe less than that, 1 hour, 45 minutes. When you come back, it may be even less or more. Depends on headwind and tailwind. So all he's saying is, you may be in a tailwind or headwind position. Doesn't matter. You still have to run the engine, no? Just because it is tailwind, you switch off the engine. The engine has to run. So all he's saying is, if you now switch on the engine, having fixed your direction in the GPS, and switched on the engine and following the GPS, it doesn't matter, you will get there. So, even if you are the worst of sinners, it doesn't matter, unrighteous. Till now you could have been unrighteous, doesn't matter. Ratnakar became Valmiki. So, you can be the worst of sinners, yet you can attain the Supreme. So, what happens is, slowly you will negate all the negatives and you will start coming to the positive and realize yourself. So, if even a person at the disadvantage level can be doing this, advantage is fellow, nothing to say. Advantage doesn't mean you can switch off the engine, you still have to continue putting in the effort. Remember that. Then, at the conclusion, again, the conclusion verse is a off-quoted important verse. Manmana bhava bhava, manmana bhava madbhaktaha. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame aishyati yuktvait. Atmanam mat parayanaha. What he is saying is, manmana bhava, fix the mind on me. Madbhakta bhava, become my bhakta. My bhakta means what? Identifying with Brahman, not the world. World should not be the end of your pursuit. God should be the end. God should not be the means for the world. Become my bhakta. My bhakta means bhakta of the self. The higher. Madhyaji, sacrifice to me. Everything should be a sacrifice to Brahman. Mam namaskuru. Align yourself with that total. See, remember that you are a small circle. The small circle should align with the big circle. That's how it should be. Isn't it? Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. So whole life should be Brahman centric life. So whatever you do, whether eating, sleeping, drinking, dancing, working, anything is dedicated to Brahman. Nothing else. If you lead that kind of a life, it is called Ananya Chinta. If you have that kind of Ananya Chinta, 24/7, 364, 365 days, then you will get there. This is the summary of chapter 9. Now, chapter 10 and 11. Now, it's going to be a little bit of struggle for me to do summary of 10th chapter for 1 hour and summary of 11th chapter for 1 hour. I hope with Krishna's grace we will succeed. Because 10th chapter is just saying, this is me, this is me, this is me. 11th chapter is showing everything in me. That's all. 10th chapter is showing everything analytically. How the Brahman pervades the world. 11th chapter is showing how world exists in Brahman. Now I have to talk for 1 hour each. I'm sure Krishna will help. He can. So let us meet next week. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Buddhyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhavat Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami.